strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, come to my help and deliver me from any difficulty which besets me. I believe, Lord, that all trials of life are under your care, and that you work all things out for the good of those who love you, for our eternal good. So please, take away from me fear, anxiety, and distress. Help me to face and endure my difficulty with faith, courage, and wisdom. Grant that this trial may bring me closer to you, for you are my rock and my refuge, my comfort and joy, my delight and hope. I trust in your unending love and compassion. Blessed is your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, the concluding chapter of Ephesians here. Under the theme, we are one in Christ. As Paul goes on talking about the different occupations and vocations and stations in life in which one finds oneself, and how do we act toward others? How do we interact with one another, given on one hand the responsibilities of our position, whether as parent or child, slave or master, employer or employee, and on the other hand, bearing in mind our status as a redeemed and forgiven child of God, who has been united to God in Jesus Christ and has been given every bit of the riches of heaven right now, because Christ himself has been seated in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firmly, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love. So here we are, the last installment of Paul's specific instructions for the different avenues, areas, or relationships and responsibilities of life, however you want to phrase it. Talking to children and parents. Children, you know, it doesn't matter who your parent is, obey them in the Lord, for this is right. I think we all recognize that this is especially difficult as the child continues to grow through the preteen years and the teenage years and then into the early 20s. As the child starts to grow and attain some more of that freedom and that sense of responsibility, that idea of obeying one's parents never goes away. Doesn't matter if your parents, you know, if you're a teenager and your parents are in their 40s or 50s, or if you're grown and out of the house and your parents are in their 70s, 80s, or 90s, your parents are still your parents and will always be your parents, as long as they are in this world. And so it's the responsibility of the child always to show that same sort of love, honor, and respect to the parents. Now we understand that there are times when a parent who is not being a faithful parent will be an abusive parent. You know, there are households where the children are victims of various forms of abuse. And in that case, of course, family and friends will do what they can to help rescue that child from the circumstances if need be, and to get some help for that parent. Because God has given a responsibility to the parents to take care of their children. And so, as Christians, we want to encourage one another in being good parents and faithful parents. This doesn't mean, you know, providing absolutely everything that a child might ask for. Doesn't necessarily mean going on a trip to Disney World every year or whatever the case may be. But Paul lays it out in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, or training and instruction of the Lord. Now that verse, spoken particularly to fathers, about exasperating your children. If your child, you know, especially, run into this every now and then, if the child, especially in that late grade school and preteen years, doesn't like what mom or dad has to say, that's not exasperating them. If the child is simply being disobedient and not listening to one's parents, then the parent is supposed to carry out discipline, of course, with the purpose of love and proper instruction of the child. And that's why the verse is one unit. Don't exasperate them, but instead demonstrate Christian love by teaching them and training them. And here, especially, talking to dads, you have the responsibility of raising your children in the Lord. What a glorious responsibility. You don't have to go pounding on doors for a new evangelism opportunity. The children that God has given to you are a perfect example. And God promises to bless that, of course, because he promises to bless every time that his word and sacraments are used, or his means of grace is used. Now, there are times when there's a single-parent household, for whatever reason, sometimes the result of a sin, sometimes the result of an accident or illness, whatever the case may be. The parent that is left, or the parent that is there, still has the responsibility of raising this child in the Lord. And that's especially a place where the church can step in and help to support this parent in teaching in Sunday school, or providing assistance, where a single parent might need a little bit of extra help where the other parent who isn't there would have been able to fill in otherwise. And that provides, you know, an opportunity to demonstrate Christian love among Christians. That this is how much I love you, because I want to help you as I can to raise your children in the Lord, because that is vitally important. And as he goes on, talks about slaves and masters, or employers and employees. Slaves in the Bible isn't exactly like slavery as we have thought about it in North America. It's something very different. perhaps more similar to an employer, an employee, where you have a contract or you are an at-will employee. That's basically the idea of slavery in the Greco-Roman world. And Paul says here, to carry out your duty as an employee as though you're working for the Lord, plain and simple. It's not just, the boss is coming around, so look busy. No, it's your Lord is watching you, and he's given you the skill. He's given you the opportunity. He's entrusted you with your time, and he wants you to be a good steward of that. And part of that means just being as faithful as possible as an employee. So finally, Paul concludes, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil. And so true that is. That when we look at a world around us and wonder, has the world gone mad? How much longer will this world exist before Christ returns? How much worse can it get? And Paul says, well, remember who you're fighting against. That as a Christian, you understand the unbeliever is enslaved by a different master. You as a Christian are a servant of the Lord. The unbeliever is enslaved by sin, destined to death, under the power and influence of the devil. And so our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil. And in that realm, Jesus has won. Obviously, Jesus has conquered everything, and all things are under his feet. But it won't be a visible victory until the end of time. But in the spiritual world, the devil knows that he has lost. And in that whole list of weapons, the only offensive weapon is the Word of God. Even that breastplate of righteousness, it's not talking about your best efforts at being righteous. It's talking about the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to you. That is to say, put upon you. And so all of those things are really defensive weapons to defend you against the temptations and the accusations of the devil. Because that's the big issue. That's the biggest danger, is to be accused and led astray into thinking that my sin is unforgivable, that I really can't change, that it's hopeless. And to all that, Jesus says, your sin has been forgiven because he has risen from the dead, and the devil stands condemned. And so, looking back, put on the full armor of God. That applies in your relationship as an employer or an employee, and to fight against the temptation to be lax and lazy. That applies to parents raising children, or to husbands and wives, and applies to single people, that the temptations you face, it really does matter. What goes on within the confines of your own mind, or and the temptation to a variety of sins at whatever stage or station in life we happen to be, that's really a spiritual matter. And in all of those places, Jesus has already won. So on the parenting aspect, parenting isn't for wimps. But you understand that the anger from your child, or the disobedience, your goal is not to simply effect some outward change, like get little Johnny to walk in line and stand and sit with everybody else. Your goal is to talk about sin and grace, to say, Joel, hitting that person was wrong, and that was mean and naughty. And then to follow that, as the child recognizes their sin, you don't just crush them and leave them there. You say, I forgive you, because God has forgiven you. Because it's a spiritual thing. And that child needs to be cloaked in the armor of God as well. And it's only in announcing the forgiveness that Jesus has won that the armor of God is really reinforced. That preaching of the gospel cleans up and shines up and buffs out every dent that we think we have suffered. Because really, the armor of God The perfection of Jesus is absolutely perfect. And that is how God has clothed you to be. And so even husbands and wives, there's the temptation to think that if my marriage isn't in a good place, then it's my spouse's fault, because look at what he or she did and doesn't do, and I do so much. And to all that, God says, watch out that you do not fall into the devil's trap. Because when he talks about husbands and wives, he says, point the finger at yourself and recognize where you have fallen short, because you're not in a comparison with your spouse. You're in a comparison with the responsibilities that God has given to you. And we kind of look at that and say, oh, love my wife as Christ loved the church. I have not done that. And Jesus, in his word, has said, you're correct, but your sin has been forgiven, and you are a baptized child of God, and you have a new life with Christ. So take up the armor, take up the sword, and go forth to fight in the power of Jesus, because you know that as you carry out your responsibilities and whatever your vocation or situation happens to be, it matters to God. Look at what he says there toward the end of chapter 6, in verse 8. You know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. And that's true. That when we talk about rewards from God, God promises what we call a reward of grace, that the only reason you will be in heaven is because of what Jesus has done and nothing that you have done. But also at the end of time, Jesus has told us that he wants to encourage our Christian living now, because at the end of time, he will basically announce to all the world, look at this beautiful thing that my child did. As a husband or a wife or a single person, as a parent, as a child, as an employer, an employee. Look at this beautiful thing. He worked hard, even for a master that was harsh to him. And he worked hard, especially when that master wasn't looking. He obeyed his parent. She obeyed her parent, even when that parent was having a rough day. And he or she parented the child and brought them to the Lord. Whereas the world would say, that's, you know, what good does that do? Jesus will say, that is exactly carrying out the responsibility that he has given to the parent, to raise them in the nurturing of the Lord. And so, there's every reason to live out Christian living, to serve one another in love, because Jesus has done everything. And for the rest of your life, he has said, now, dear child, just look at the responsibilities placed before you and serve me in those. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day. What bliss beyond compare.